My friend, Kanata Edwards, Nata the Scribe, Ion College Basketball Podcast, as it says on the bio, a pinch hitter at times on the Pick Six Pod. We are three games into the NBA Finals, and after every game is another narrative. Last night the narrative was, well, Denver's just better, which we knew. Miami played with no energy, which I don't buy. Sometimes the other team is just better. I thought Miami's problem was they ran bad offense last night.
I think we have to go back to the Denver's just better thing.
Well, no, that's part of it, right? But like, I think Miami just didn't help themselves by running lazy offense.
I don't think they helped themselves, but at the same point, I'm not sure how many more counterpunches Spo really has. Like, let's be real here. Tyler Hero, who was rumored to be coming back for what this entire final series, they basically put the kibosh on that. So who's coming back to help them? Duncan Robinson is being Duncan Robinson, which is, okay, he's going to hit shots, but we're also going to make him defend. Yeah. There's just... This is where the undrafted guys start looking like undrafted guys. And the other team is just better. And on top of that, we're probably seeing the best run from a big man since what? Shaq in 01 or Hakeem in 94? Like, that's what we have. Like it's like you said earlier. We just got to tip our hat to the better guy right now. We have to tip our hat to the better team right now. It's that simple.
The best player in the series is unquestionably Nikola Jokic. And I texted you, it was during game two.
What are we seeing?
What are we watching here? And then, of course, Miami came back and won the game. But I wasn't really concerned about that because I was just marveling at what Jokic does. You can't – there's no answer. Miami, no. As good a defender as Bam Adebayo is – what has he given up? 40 pounds and height?
40 pounds and 3 inches. 40 pounds and 3 inches, which matters.
Yeah, because Jokic can make any shot, almost with any hand, with balance not necessary. I've never seen this. I've never seen a player like him.
Like, we got to think about it. Like, for the last, 20 years, we've been about our wings have been the feature. Like, if you have a wing that no one else has, then you basically win. We're going back to the old school with this one, Adam. this is completely the, if you don't have a Kareem, you don't have a Shaq, you don't have a Russell, a Wilt, you're not winning. We're going old school with this. And it's fun because it should be like Jokic should be a throwback to everybody that loved those bigs that just dominated the floor. And when you see a team like Miami go zone and this dude is basically carving them up like he's at Golden Corral. Like, that's how good this dude is. Like, that's the thing. Like, he's that good. It's fun to watch because at certain points, like, you're just watching this dude toy with these guys and then – or you see, like, take the third quarter from last night. Like, Jokic gets the ball on the perimeter. Ball fake, two dribbles. I'm just going to motor in, flip some left-hand, like, right-handed shot. It plays around on the rim and then goes right in.
Yeah.
That's unstoppable.
It is.
And it's quite literally unstoppable.
It's part of his
game.
You
don't have anything for that.
You say it's old school, but I think it's new school because – the old school Shaqs and Kareems, they always operated right around the rim. But he doesn't need to. He's the point guard. Like, it was funny. I mentioned this the other day. In the final four teams in the NBA playoffs, the Lakers and the Nuggets in the West, the Celtics and the Heat in the East, nobody had a point guard. I mean, they have point guards, but none of them facilitate the offense. Boston had Tatum basically running the offense, occasionally Brown. Denver, Jokic is the point guard. He runs the break in the middle of the floor, which is hysterical to watch. The Lakers use LeBron, which is probably the most traditional point guard in the playoffs. Miami doesn't really have one either. They run everything through Butler. Through Butler when he's on the court. So is that a vanishing breed? Are we completely done with them? I mean, I agree, but the final four teams in the league, nobody had one.
I think what we're learning about the final four teams in the league right now is that it's just literally about because I think what we're seeing is like the evolution. A couple of years ago, it was what? You need to get all the 3-and-D spacers that you could, and everything else doesn't matter. Now we're talking about just getting as many big, talented guys. I think the big thing is that there is no method to put this together. The idea is grab as much talent as you can, get a coach that will that will basically emphasize the strengths, minimize the weaknesses, and for the most part, that's how you're going to see guys like – that's how you're going to see teams like Miami, because Miami has a bunch of weaknesses, but guess who knows how to minimize them? Spoelstra, who might be the best coach in the league and has probably been the best coach in the league years running. Mike Malone was an underrated coach for a long time. His X's and O's have been great. It's literally just about maximizing the talent that you have. And, oh, yeah, that includes Christian Braun, who had a big stretch in the fourth.
Holy cow.
Yeah, like, I didn't see that coming.
No.
But
it ended the game. That stretch ended the game. Like, Duncan Robinson's third quarter, early fourth quarter in game two, gave Miami the push they needed to get out in front. That was Christian Braun as well. So Nada the Scribe is with us here. What's Miami's path forward here? Because I've been saying for going back to the Lakers series, the Lakers had to make it a one-man show. They had to Jokic is going to get his, nothing you can do about it. They can't allow Jamal Murray to be all-star level Jamal Murray. And he has been. He was last night. I'm not concerned about the triple-double. That's all nice. But he was just a dynamic player. Miami can't allow that. I think Miami can still win the series, but they got to make Jokic do it on his own.
I don't think that's where we disagree. I think the series is over. I think we're looking at a point of, is this over in five or is this over in six? Miami's path forward has to involve maybe Jokic in foul trouble. That's the only thing I can think of. That's the way forward. It's got to be, okay, get to the rim, get Jokic in foul trouble. But the problem is, Jokic is kind of the master defending without fouling.
Or not defending.
Or that too. Sometimes
he doesn't have to. I'm holding out hope Miami can make this a long series. I thought Denver played defensively with a lot of energy, but I really thought Miami let them off the hook. Way too many settled for early in the shot clock threes. Even though that's how they won game two, I don't think that's a recipe for winning the series. All right, let me ask you a couple of other things before we have to say goodbye to my friend Nada the Scribe. Let me start with the Chris Paul rumors here. So Chris Paul is probably going to be either released or traded by the Suns. They also decided apparently that they're going to move DeAndre Ayton. I don't understand. I mean, I understand it.
I understand the Ayton.
I'm not a huge fan of Ayton to begin with, and I think Paul's probably done as an impactful player for any, certainly for an entire season. You know, maybe you bury him on a bench for a while, and then you take him off out of mothballs like in March, and let him take you across the finish line. But what are your thoughts there? Does he fit anywhere? I know the Lakers, because of the friendship, is a rumor, but is there a fit for him?
You know, it was funny because I thought Lakers. I think he can help a lot of young teams, the Hornets included. Uh-oh. But you know the team that makes the most sense that I didn't see until Tom Haberstroh of Levitard said it? Memphis makes so much sense for a team like Chris Paul, for like Chris Paul, because that team needs adults. It's very clear they need adults.
He's a super adult. And
yeah, exactly. Right. Like, let's think about what he did for a guy like Devin Booker. Devin Booker, like, say what you want about, like, the impact might be overrated on the court, but the attention to detail, the preparation,
that stuff
matters. And for a team like Memphis, who is probably losing Dylan Brooks, and probably all for the better because, again, he's a lightning rod.
Yeah.
For that, a team like that, I think Chris Paul, being an adult, teaching people how to prepare, you do not know how long Ja Morant is going to be gone. It's anywhere, I've heard from anywhere from like 15 games to 45 games. You don't know how long he's going to be gone. Chris Paul stepping into a role to be an adult to help all those other kids get ready, prepare properly, and mind the store until Ja Morant gets his mind right. I feel like that might be the best way forward for him. But at the same point, does he want to be in Memphis? There's a whole lot of other questions. But for me, Memphis makes the most sense. If not, not them, then he's going to have to look at a rebuilding team. And Monty Williams in Detroit look real, real good right about now.
Certainly as a mentor, Chris Paul can do that. All right, quickly to the Hornets. Second pick in the draft. Nothing wrong with that. The rumor is Brandon Miller. I guess that really depends on what your thoughts are long-term for LaMelo Ball as opposed to drafting Scoot Henderson. So what are your thoughts on where the Hornets should go? And again, what do you think of LaMelo Ball's long-term?
I think LaMelo Ball is going to be here for at least the next 4 or 5 years. He's signing the rookie extension. He's rookie max. He'd be the first to turn it down. So let's eliminate that. He's going to be here for the next 4 or 5 years. On the draft pick, I don't envy them, quite honestly. Like, I like both of these guys. There are certain things to like and certain things not to like about each. Scoot Henderson is the popular fan pick because he's got this eye-popping athleticism. Sure. But the question I have for everybody is, what if he ends up being Eric Bledsoe? Like, what if he doesn't really develop the jumper, ends up being an upper echelon defender, but that's about it. Then, I think we have to start looking at this at what is the floor for these guys. My floor for Brandon Miller might be closer to a Chris Middleton back, like New Orleans, Peja Stojakovic. Like, still very, very, very good shooter, but can he do much else? And for this team, who ranked almost dead last in three-point shooting, Brandon Miller might really fit better and might have the higher ceiling. The only question you really have, unfortunately, is can he handle the ball? And then more importantly, can he finish better at the rim? Because within 5 feet of the rim, Brandon Miller shot 25%. Only going to get worse with better rim protectors. But that's also, can he fix that to the point where he's actually effective at the rim?
Did you say that within 5 feet of the rim, he shot 25%?
25%, yeah.
I couldn't. Do you think there is an off the court issue at all with Brandon Miller based on what happened at Alabama? I'm not suggesting there is. I'm wondering what your thoughts are.
As someone who thought, and we talked about this. I thought he should have been suspended.
Absolutely.
A couple of games for being involved in that, and that was just on the. You shouldn't be anywhere near a murder case kind of suspension. Like, you may not have been involved heavily, but at the same point, you were dumb enough to be a part of this investigation. So we got to park you for a couple of games.
Just say no to somebody who asks you to bring their gun.
Yeah.
Just say no to that.
Exactly. Like that. There's a just say no suspension. Right. Absolutely. Just say no. But from like a overall perspective, he's largely, from what we can tell, he's largely worked with the Alabama Tuscaloosa DA. Like, there's a lot of this where this does not look like this is completely on him. He's just, his biggest crime is being an idiot, a 19 or 20 year old idiot.
Right.
And if that's the biggest crime, then a whole bunch of us are going to be locked up.
Gosh,
so
I've been a 26 year old idiot before. That was a long time ago. That's not a describe. Kanata Edwards, CBSSports.com, Ion College Basketball Podcast. Best shouts to Leaky Black, Gary Parrish, Matt Norlander, and Camel Fighting. I'll talk to you later.
Absolutely. Next time we'll lament over the Mets.
Oh, wait, forget about them. Jake DeGrom got hurt. And not for us.
This is my shocked face.
Yeah. Nada, thanks, man.
Peace.
The new Chevy Silverado HD puts you in command. Own strength with its enhanced available Duramax 6.6-liter turbo diesel V8. Own the lake with its available advanced towing technology. And own technology with an available 13.4-inch diagonal touchscreen. The new Chevy Silverado HD. Own work, own play, own life. Learn more at Chevy.com. Find new roads. Chevrolet.